Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. The final segment for this week's edition is a chat with Silicon Valley veteran journalist and expert Sarah Lacey. Now, we're going to start with politics because that just has simply not gotten old yet. Silicon Valley is an economic engine, of course, the likes of which have not been seen since Andrew Carnegie and J.D. Rockefeller were printing money for their personal fortunes. But politically, the Valley tends to sit on its hands come election time, except for one veteran VC firm that has called out Donald Trump in a very blatant way. Now, after that chat, Sarah Lacey talks about her experience in covering Silicon Valley as a woman, as a mother, and now as an author of her working title, The Uterus is a Feature, Not a Bug. We spoke earlier this week.
Sarah Lacey, I am the founder and editor-in-chief of Pando.
Sarah, it seems like in Silicon Valley, people sit on their political hands, if you will, because of the business opportunities it could either break or make. But you found what we call a veteran venture capital firm that seems to be breaking the mold a little bit. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, this venture firm, it goes by CRV now. It used to be called Charles River Ventures, which tells you it did not start in San Francisco because there is no Charles River here. It's one of these storied Boston East Coast venture firms that, you know, has had some big hits in Silicon Valley, like Twitter and Yammer, but has also been struggling a little bit to find, you know, its total differentiation in the Valley amid billions and billions of capital that entrepreneurs have to choose from. And last week, they basically decided their differentiation was going to be taking political stands that no other firm will make, even if the partners in those firms are incredibly outspoken in their political stance. They took over the homepage of their site with a big red screen and the words F Trump and linked it to a post where they said they didn't agree with his views on immigration. In fact, two members of their partnership probably wouldn't have been allowed in the United States if some of his more hardline policies were ever that he's talked about on the trail were ever actually enacted. And they also said that 50% of the teams that they've backed through the history of the firm have been started by immigrant founders. Now, like, everyone knows this. Like, you think about the PayPal mafia. Max Levchin was an immigrant.
Right.
Peter Thiel, who's been a delegate for Trump, was an immigrant. Jerry Yang was an immigrant. Pierre Omidyar was an immigrant. Like, you go down the list, and it's like, it is so many of the biggest, most iconic companies in Silicon Valley,
right.
You know? Andy Grove. I mean, you just go on and on and on. But this firm was unique in saying something we all know would crush this business is wrong, and we are, as a firm, going to say it's wrong.
Yeah, and even if you don't have the marquee names that you mentioned, which are very important, obviously, you have the underpinnings of the H-1B thing that's going on and the vicious, vicious fight for talent in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And, you know, it's interesting that just a few years ago, we had Mark Zuckerberg taking a huge stand on immigration, starting Forward Us, putting $100 million of his own money behind it. Mm-hmm. And he had all of the major bigwigs in Silicon Valley get behind it and say they supported this thing. I mean, immigration has always been the really easy cause to get behind in Silicon Valley. It's so strange to me that CRV's stand is so unique in this. Because, you know, look, I think that the partners there probably do have issues with a lot of the things Trump's saying, but it's not like their issue was racism. It's not like their issue was,
right,
you know, things he said about women. The issue was immigration, which, like, it is really, really hard to find someone in Silicon Valley, Peter Thiel included, who thinks immigration has been bad for the Valley.
If Silicon Valley can't get together and not support Trump, there's one thing they definitely get together and not support, and that's the European Union. And the EU, the EU has come after Apple for back taxes to the tune of $14.5 billion, and even Ireland's government says this is not your jurisdiction, EU. Get out of our yard. So is this yet another play? Is this just protectionism coming out of EU? Is this a pure money grab?
I mean, look, the EU just thinks about business differently than America does. And, you know, there is not this, like, full-throated love of huge corporations that there is in America.
True.
And the part of it is the cultural difference. I remember when I was covering, like, the rise of open source software for Business Week in the early 2000s, a lot of it came out of Europe. And when I would interview people, they'd say, you know, there's kind of these weird communist leanings throughout Europe. It's one reason that open source became so popular there, and a lot of the biggest projects were created there, like MySQL and Linux and a lot of the other ones. And I think it's a little bit of that same view. Now, normally, like, if you were to ask me this question a couple years ago, I would say, like, I think Europe is overreaching. Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of protectionism. You know, I definitely tend to err a little bit on, you know, the free market side. I think Gawker once called me a free market monster.
Good for you.
That said, someone needs to be holding tech accountable, because it's sure in the venture capital.
Right.
It's sure in Wall Street. It's sure the consumers who don't have any issues with privacy or monopoly or anything else.
Yeah, apparently.
And it sure isn't the U.S. government. So, like, to me, I don't know if it's fair or not. And I get Ireland's point that it's like, well, we have created an industry on not making tech companies pay taxes.
Right.
Don't mess with that, EU. I get it. But as, like, a person studying power dynamics in this industry, I am glad that the tech giants, who are now controlling like 75% of U.S. advertising markets, how we consume news and entertainment, are scared of someone.
I'd like to extrapolate upon this politically, because I think this is an opportunity for a politician to put a little policy down and say, you know what, the second quarter 2017, we're going to give you an amnesty. You can repatriate your cash at 15%. If you use 2% or 3% for, say, renewable energy or R&D or something along those lines, and then we can repatriate that cash. I mean, maybe this is an opportunity, and then the EU is going to be like, holy crap, did we just scare off the golden goose?
Right. No, I think that would be really interesting. And, you know, it reminds me of a conversation I was having with someone the other day about this debate over whether taxing carried interest from venture capital firms as real income should happen or not. And there's been some very wealthy people who've said, you should close this tax loophole. You should charge me like this is income. And I've seen some other people say, hey, tie it to diversity training in the Valley. Say, if you fund this many female founders, maybe you get a tax write-off.
Yeah.
I think there's actually a lot of creative things that could be done to close some of these tax loopholes, but also try to drive, you know, good behavior from these tech companies at the same time. I mean, even saying that makes me nervous, because I am still kind of free market monster-y, but it's like, at some point, someone needs to be standing up to these companies. We know entrepreneurs, they're like toddlers. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah, but I dig that angle you're taking, because, you know, you're right. What about funded boot camps for gender equality and racial equality? I mean, that could be part of the repatriation. I have long advocated that corporate social responsibility should be a line in every earnings call for every corporation in America. That needs to be called out.
Yeah. I mean, Jobs actually was not very good on corporate responsibility.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'll tell you, who's gotten a ton of headlines for it as Mark Benioff.
Yes.
He has fashioned himself as the people's billionaire. And the fact that in the income inequality anger over the tech world space that we're in San Francisco right now, anyone could be known as the people's billionaire. I mean, look, you can say it's cynical, you can say it's heartfelt or not.
Sarah, let's talk about your new project. It's my understanding you are still working on a new book and you have a podcast to go along with it. Let's flesh that out. How are things going?
It's going well. I am about 50,000 words through the book, which is a ton of words. I kind of some weekends feel like I'm bleeding out of my ears, because I probably write about 10,000 words a week for Pando as is, and have two children, and I'm juggling a lot. But that's sort of what the book is all about. The name is A Uterus is a Feature, Not a Bug. And it's really a book about how motherhood is something that made me far stronger as a working woman and a CEO and an entrepreneur, and a lot of other women that I've spoken to as well. And the book is about half memoir, sort of this insane last 5 years of my life, during which I've become a mother, I've started a company, I've, you know, raised money from some of the most famous people in Silicon Valley, and also had some of the most famous people in Silicon Valley issue threats against my family and try to put us out of business. We've had north of $300 million in legal threats to shut our company down because of our reporting. I've gotten divorced over that period. It has been an insane 4 or 5 years, and it's really my children that have given me the strength to get through it. And I felt like there's so many people, even women, especially young women, and me, but before I was 35 and had kids, who buy this lie that motherhood is this disability. And it's the book I wish I had read before I had kids, because I feel like I bought it, this lie, for about 15 years of adulthood.
Right on. Well, Sarah, it's always a pleasure. We'll have links up on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. I'll tweet them back at you, Sarah. We'll get some out there. I can't wait to read the book.
I can't wait to read it because it means it'll be done.
Sarah, let's talk again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jason.
That was the inimitable Sarah Lacey speaking with us about politics in Silicon Valley and her new book out early next year, The Uterus is a Feature, Not a Bug. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We hope you enjoyed our chat with Sarah, as well as our look at how the American taxpayer will be helping Apple pay its fair share in Europe until we have real corporate tax reform. And remember the Great Recession? We devoted two segments to an important new book that could help us avoid such financial disaster again. It's called Prosperity for All by Professor Roger Farmer. Links to all of our segments and past shows are on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio, as well as on KGORadio.com/Techonomics. Please consider giving that Facebook page a share or a like, and it would tickle us to death if you'd consider following us at KGO Jason on Twitter. For executive producer Mike Anthony and for producer Liana Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics, and we hope you'll come back next Sunday. In the meanwhile, have great weeks.